Our next speaker is Vanessa Forsberg. Vanessa is the public health policy analyst for APHA. She began in March of this year. She's going to talk about the Affordable Care Act and what APHA views as important to the association and for public health. She was my backup. I was waiting for the federal person, and I contacted her a week ago. And I said, Vanessa, can you do it? And she came through. So I'm very pleased to introduce you to Vanessa Forsberg. Thank you, Vanessa.
Thank you. All right, so with that, you all have to go a little easy on me. So I am the policy analyst. I do focus on healthcare reform issues in the Policy Center, but as a lot of you are, I am still learning. I don't consider myself a health reform expert. I consider myself someone who is learning as I go and trying my best to share the information. When I have questions, I'm looking them up, and hopefully my role at APHA is learning about those things and then sharing them with the public health community. So what I'm going to do with my time, since Herb is a tough act to follow and since he already gave such a great overview of the ACA, I'm going to do what I consider to be a little bit of shameless self-promotion. I'm going to tell you about the Public Health Policy Center at APHA. If you're not familiar with what we are, just give you a little bit of what we do, and then maybe rehash some of what Herb already talked about in terms of overviews of the ACA, but kind of take things from our perspective at the Policy Center and just give you an idea of what we've been working on lately. All right, and I was not sure if I technically had to do this, but I thought I would be safe rather than sorry in terms of disclosure. So the Policy Center is largely funded through a CDC grant, and I in particular am working on a grant that's kind of funneled through the Affordable Care Act, and since I'm talking about the Affordable Care Act, I figured I would just let you all know that. All right, so starting with the Center for Public Health Policy, just so I have a sense, how many of you know that we have a Center for Public Health Policy and are familiar with the work that we do? Great, not that many, so this is worthwhile. All right. So we were created in the spring of 2006, and that's long before my time. As you heard, I've been with the APHA for about 7 months now. But created in the spring of 2006 to provide objective policy analysis, policy research, on public health issues for both our members, for the public health community at large, and also for decision makers. And in a lot of ways, what I also consider that we do is provide that information for other APHA staff. So those of our teams who work with members and get information out to them, who work with our affiliates, our government relations team, who does a lot more of that work with the policymakers than we do, and also our communications and press team, who do the Nation's Health articles, the Public Health Newswire, all those great things that many of you are probably familiar with. So the activities that we do, we develop issue briefs, fact sheets, webinars, reports, all sorts of great things. We provide capacity building assistance, so that is through the NIFI grant, the National Public Health Improvement Initiative, which is part of the Affordable Care Act. So there are health departments all over the country that have grants through NIFI to work on their own public health capacity, and one of the areas that they can work on, and a lot of them are working on accreditation issues, they can also work on improving their capacity to do public health policy. And then there are a few national organizations, APHA is one of them, that have some of that funding in order to provide technical assistance on those issues as they work through them. We convene, we facilitate consensus building activities. One of the upcoming projects, I'm skipping ahead, but we are starting to work on a delivery system reform research project and gathering experts from the field and taking a look at what all these delivery and payment reforms are going to mean for the public health community. And then, as I said, we are trying to contribute subject matter expertise to the rest of APHA. So these are our areas of focus, health reform, and I am the person in the center who is looking most at health reform issues and how that affects public health infrastructure. Health in all policies, so that is getting to that issue of social determinants of health and thinking it's not just health policy that affects our health. It's things that are happening in education, it's things that are happening in housing, it's things that are happening in transportation, and how can we bring all of those sectors together so that we're communicating, so we're thinking about about individuals' health, so we're thinking about community health and moving forward. Health equity, looking at obviously health equity, health disparities. We've got some great new things rolling out in the next year or two on that. Use of policy and law and public health practice, that gets back to that community-based assistance, that NIFI grant that I was talking about. And we are also one of four national public health organizations, along with NACHO and ASTO, and I am blanking on the last one, that support the Partnership for Public Health Law, and so they give us expertise on public health law topics. Chronic disease prevention, that gets at the Community Transformation Grant program, largely which Herb alluded to and which I'll come back to a little bit more. And so that's work at the community level to address chronic diseases and various other things. And we're one of the one of a few organizations that is trying to collect information about that and then disseminate it back out into the field in terms of best practices. And then we also have one of the largest, actually, parts of our policy center are a few people who work on environmental health. So within health reform, drilling down into that, I think what I'm supposed to talk to you about is what APHA is looking at in terms of health reform. And the first thing is building a knowledge and resource base. And that is kind of thinking for the public health community, you know, it's not just that we want to know about it, it's that we want to be able to explain it to others when they ask. So kind of getting back to the 101s, how do we explain the law? What are the major aspects of it? What are the things that are relevant to us? And the things that we don't necessarily think in terms of public health necessarily, like these coverage and access topics. So we don't only need to be versed in the prevention fund. We need to be versed in what is happening with the exchanges, with the Medicaid expansion, with the insurance reforms. So hopefully helping hit some of those major things. And, of course, then the prevention and public health provisions. And this building a knowledge and resource base, the way that we are rolling that out for you is largely through some new web content. We just did, at the end of this summer, a big rollout of lots of new content on the health reform section of our website, and there will be a link to that at the end of this, which you can take with you. Also, we just relaunched our newsletter, and that's not just a member-only thing. I'm not sure how many in this room are APHA members. Some of our resources and communications are member-only, but we figured health reform is a topic that we really need to get the word out as broadly as possible. So if you are not already getting the health reform newsletter, I can talk to you about how to get signed up for that, and that's a monthly thing that goes out. And then also we're just really ramping up our fact sheets and our issue briefs. That one on the bottom is one that I'll show you in just a second. So digging down more into the areas that we focus on in depth, the Prevention and Public Health Fund is probably the biggest thing that we follow and pay attention to. We also spent some time this year looking at the Supreme Court decision. We worked with a couple of law partners to do Supreme Court decision analysis. And I don't know, how many were at the mid-year meeting? It's a much smaller thing. Okay, wow, nobody. So the mid-year meeting was a policy meeting that we did this June. And it was, I mean, there's 13,000 here. There are only about 300 there in Charlotte, North Carolina. But the end of the meeting coincided with Supreme Court handing down their decision. And we were all in the closing session, and there were jumbo screens, and all of us watched the feed and pretty much shouted and hugged together. It was a pretty awesome day to be with the public health community. But of course, you know, that's not over. We're watching, we're monitoring and keeping track of what goes on as in the aftermath of that decision. And then regulatory tracking as well. So as the law is rolled out in the federal rulemaking process, keeping an eye on that, what the public health community might want to comment on. And this next project that we are just getting ready to launch is, I think I mentioned that just a moment ago, looking at the delivery and payment system reforms. So things like the accountable care organizations, things like the medical home demos, things like the value-based purchasing provision that just went into effect for Medicare payments to hospitals, looking at all of these different things that are really aimed at quality and cost, especially in Medicare and Medicaid, but what do those things mean for the public health community? So first, explaining them so that the public health, our members and the public know what's going on with all of these things, and then thinking through as these changes to our health system roll out, what does that mean for health departments and the safety net? So we're excited about that. All right. That was a little bit about the Center for Public Health Policy. We are busy folks, and we are working hard to give you all the information that that you may want and need. And we're really interested in feedback as well. There are surveys on a couple of places on our website that we are always interested in hearing feedback about our policy resources in general, as well as our health reform resources in particular. I promise I won't take it personally. We do want to hear from you what kind of information that you want going forward. And we are also working closely, those of you who are members and have heard about the new online community, we're working closely with the folks at APHA who are rolling that out and hoping to make health reform a big part of that. So health reform overview and updates. I get to blast through this quite a bit quicker because even though we talked a little bit in advance, I went off the rails and put more health reform overview in here than I needed to. Still, I hope it's useful to just give you what APHA sees as health reform. And Herb talked about three buckets. That's not completely different than how we think about it, but this is how we understand the structure of the Affordable Care Act. We see it as two big, broad things, insurance reform and health system reform. And then when you break that down under insurance reform, we look at that as being more people covered, those provisions like the Medicaid expansions, creating the exchanges, all sorts of great things there, more benefits and protections, being in all those insurance reforms that restrict all of the kind of the negative things that insurance companies are doing now, and then lower costs for both consumers and for the taxpayers and the government. Then on the other side, health system reform, improved quality and efficiency is where we've landed a lot of those delivery and payment system reforms. Stronger workforce and infrastructure, kind of self-explanatory, and then the greater focus on public health and prevention. So that's where we have the Prevention and Public Health Fund, the prevention strategy, the nutrition labeling, the public health education campaigns, all sorts of things. And this is only the top level of it. Like, I think you saw a screenshot. So this is an example of what we try to create for people. It's the Affordable Care Act on one page, and then on the back is a little explanation of what these things are. So if you've been walking around wondering, you know, what MLR is and what ACOs are, this is at least the abbreviated version of that. So I won't go any more into this. I just wanted to give you the idea of kind of how when APHA conceptualizes the Affordable Care Act, this is how we're looking at it. So our primary focus is on the Prevention and Public Health Fund in terms of what part of the Affordable Care Act do we pay the most attention to. And this is a pretty exciting move forward. So it's the nation's first mandatory bucket of money for public health programs. And before that, there's lots of different streams of funding. They were discretionary, at risk every year. But here we're seeing a big investment in public health, maybe not as big as we all would have hoped, but it's a start. It's definitely a start going forward. Before the ACA, I think the number was only about 3.0-something percent in terms of national health dollars, federal health dollars that were spent on public health. And this moves the needle just a tiny bit, but it's moving it in the right direction. It was originally $15 billion over fiscal years 2010 to 19, with a sustained $2 billion after that. Unfortunately, even though we see the word mandatory up there at the top, that doesn't mean it's safe forever, and we have already seen a cut to the fund earlier this year. February 2012, we saw H.R. 3630, which included a $6.25 billion cut to the fund over the next 9 years. Here it is visually. So the light blue is what the fund originally was going to be. The dark blue is where we're at now. And in terms of giving you an update, too, on things that we're following, of course, the sequestration talks are also in play. The White House issued a report about a month ago that outlined some of what they would expect the cuts might be under sequestration, according to what the law said a year ago, the target they would have to hit. And the Prevention Fund was named as something that would receive about a 7% cut, and that would mean $76 million off the next year of funding. Other ACA provisions could also be cut or could also be hit by sequestration. So that's something that that's something more that our government relations team is following, but it is something to keep an eye on. But, like I said, we're excited about it. It is a positive thing, despite the fact that it's not as big as we ideally wish it could be and that it's already sustained cuts. Here's a visual representation of those four buckets that Herb mentioned: the clinical prevention activities, the community prevention, the workforce and infrastructure, and the research and tracking. And there's all sorts of great programs being funded under each of these buckets. And what we're trying to do is keep an eye on that going forward, collect information about the programs that are getting funded, and hopefully, as we're starting to see results from those, passing those back out to the community. And to shamelessly, this is about shameless plugging, folks. This is something that we've done this year, an issue brief, which gets into probably way more detail than anyone wants to know. But if you do want to see specific lists according to these categories or according to agency, we broke it down for you here that you can take a closer look at the prevention fund. So within the prevention fund, this is digging down deeper into what APHA is focusing on, the community transformation grants. We have one person in the policy center who is our community transformation grant dissemination person, and this is what it is. So it's funding for largely these first four buckets of activities. I'm not going to read those to you. You can see them. But I wanted to put this slide up to highlight the fact that it's not just these four activities. These are the ones that get the most, I think, the most conversation when people talk about community transformation grants. But there are all these other activities that can be funded through community transformation grants. I'm not going to read those to you either, but I did highlight the fact that oral health activities are up for that. And if you want, after this presentation or during Q&A, I can give you the contact information for our CTG expert in the Policy Center. And then beyond the prevention fund and beyond the community transformation grants, which are a part of that, I just wanted to list these other major public health and prevention parts of the ACA that we're keeping an eye on, that we're excited about. This is a table on where they're at, and I tried to give a little bit of a sense of, are there oral health implications and impacts in them. I don't think I'm going to go very much through these because Herb already talked about the national prevention strategy, the public education campaigns. There is an oral health campaign in there as well as lifestyle. There's three different campaigns. One is the oral health. One is lifestyle activities, including tobacco. And then the last one is menu labeling. And besides that public education campaign on menu labeling, that's something that we're waiting to see go forward. There's regulation hopefully coming down maybe at the end of this year, early next year, which will give us some more guidance on menu labeling going forward. Those delivery system reforms, the community health needs assessments are something really interesting. So nonprofit public hospitals going forward are going to have to do these community health needs assessments. But specifically, the law says that they have to engage public health stakeholders, public health experts. And so not just public health. I mean, I wonder if there's an opportunity there for the oral health community to get in on that process. And we're still trying to figure out what that's going to look like, find out who's already doing these, what are the best practices. So stay tuned for more information on that. And delivery system reforms, as I said, we're working on a new project with that. The workforce and infrastructure funding, as soon as I have more time, I would love to come back to this issue and take a closer look at what are those unfunded provisions and what's going on with those. All right, 2 minutes. So this is a little more information on the public education campaign on oral health. I'm going to skip through this. We can come back and dig into it if we want to. But I just wanted to give you this laundry list of things that we are looking at going forward. So these coverage expansions in 2014, what's going to happen? What are they going to mean for the public health community and the safety net? How are they going to look? The system and delivery reform, the ongoing attacks on the prevention fund. I tell you, I used to work for a lot more controversial place than APHA, and I never would have thought that the prevention and public health fund would have been a controversial thing, but it is. So we'll keep an eye on those, and hopefully it moves forward as it stands. Also, the ongoing litigation against the Affordable Care Act. Things didn't end with the Supreme Court decision. And those workforce and infrastructure needs, as I mentioned, and then the rulemaking that is still left to happen. We are continuing to monitor that. I mentioned that system and delivery reform project, but also stay tuned for some new resources on the community transformation grants as well as health equity. And the last little bits are just some APHA resources. So there's our health reform section of our site. There's the link to our reports, which are not just on health reform, but are on all of the issues I mentioned earlier that the Policy Center focuses on, our public health law and policy resources. And then I put some other ones up. Oral health has not necessarily been something, I mean, you heard me, I didn't mention oral health as something that the Policy Center has yet to focus on, but one of the things that we like to do, we're try to keep our focuses broad, but where we're not specifically focusing on them, we're hopefully putting up resources on our website that are relevant to specific issues. So I did want to share this one, a great overview from the Children's Dental Health Project on oral health provisions relevant to health reform, and healthcare.gov is also obviously a great resource. So there's my contact information, but I know we're not doing questions now, so I'll wait to the end. Yeah.